The Tolkien Road, Episode 229, The Next Great Journey. Hello everyone, welcome to The Tolkien Road. John here. Episode 229, The Next Great Journey. Greta, how are you?
I'm fantastic, John. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
Good. Yeah. Good, good. I'm excited to talk about our next great journey.
Well, I am too. I'm very excited. On this episode, we are going to be discussing our plans for the podcast over the next year. I'm extremely excited about it, and I hope that by the end of this episode, all of you listening will be as well. And that you will be too, Greta.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not excited, you're going to find yourself a new co-host.
I thought you were just going to fire me and find a new main host.
That'd be too much work. I would just quit.
Oh, I see. I see how
it is.
That's
how I rule.
Man, oh man.
The path of least resistance is my friend.
Well, that's a good one. It's a good path.
It is a good path.
maybe not always the most fruitful path, but it is one path that you can go down.
Yeah, well, it's true.
It'll get you where you're going fast.
Yeah.
But it may not be the most enjoyable.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is all true.
We're all about roads and the idea of roads
and
on
long,
this episode.
And long non-shortcut roads.
The long and winding road.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, before we get started, we'd like to give we'd like to give a shout out to our patrons. Started on like the main content,
Okay.
Yeah. So we'd like to give a shout out to our patrons. Special thanks to this episode's executive producers, Caitlin of Tea with Tolkien, Lise Yu, Andrew T, and John R.
Woohoo.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you guys. Thank you.
For being executive producers. And we want to give a shout out to Bethany E, longtime patron. Bethany annualized her pledge of support,
nice.
Which we are very thankful for.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Bethany.
Thank you, Bethany. We really appreciate it.
All of you listening, if you are not already a patron, you too can become a patron of the Tolkien Road by visiting patreon.com/Tolkien Road. When you become a patron, you help the Tolkien Road go ever on. You also become a member of the Fellowship of the Road and receive awesome perks like early access to new episodes. Mm-hmm. Check it out now to learn more about all of the exciting bonuses we offer. And don't forget, you can now make an annual pledge and get 1 month free. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Once again, that's patreon.com/Tolkien Road. And for the last several episodes, by the way, we've been posting the video recording of our episodes. So if you're the kind of person that likes to, that you know, thinks that's a step up on the podcast game is to be able to see the people who are actually in your ears, right, then you can become a patron and you can get the video for that. And in most cases, we're not necessarily promising it's always going to be the case because, you know, some days you just wake up and you're not really feeling it. But we've been keeping that pretty well as of late. So
Yeah, we have.
We're on kind of a roll with that. And we plan to do that every episode from here on out. So, yeah, if you like the video thing, then become a patron.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right.
You can also support the Tolkien Road by leaving us a one-time tip. Just look in the show notes on your podcatcher for the Leave a Tip link, or head on over to TolkienRoad.com and look for the blue Leave a Tip button. Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes and other podcasting platforms. Leaving a five-star rating and a review is a super easy way to support the show because it boosts our profile on the search engines, which helps new listeners to find us,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's just another way of you can support us, and that's no cost way of supporting us. So
yeah,
except for just a little bit of your time.
A little bit of time. Yep.
Leave that rating, five-star rating, leave that review, like our most recent reviewer. I don't think we've read this one, but I'm not feeling bad about repeating it because the name Joe Bagelman is particularly awesome.
That is awesome.
So Joe Bagelman on January 16th, rekindling a heart and a world that goes chill, 5 stars. Hey Carswell, some of my fondest childhood memories are of watching the Lord of the Rings movies with my dad. However, I was never brave enough to really get into the literature much past the Lord of the Rings novels. In the last year or so, I've taken a deeper dive into Tolkien's works, and my dad and I have never been closer. In September, I read The Silmarillion for the first time, and your explorations into the deep lore not only helped me enjoy the book more, but have inspired me to read even more of the books. Thank you for being so passionate about Middle Earth and for taking me on that journey with you. You've helped rekindle my love for Tolkien, and for that I'm eternally grateful. Thanks for keeping it real.
Ooh, I love that.
Well, thank you, Joe Bagelman.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, I love getting notes like this, and you know, just hearing about people joining up with us, you know, going all the way back to when we first started recording this in 2015.
Yeah, it is,
and
really,
you know,
cool.
And just listening along with us, and I hope you continue on your journey and keep in touch with us as you continue on your journey as well. So,
I love that. I love these reviews too, where they mention the works of Tolkien, kind of like not rekindling, but really helping to like draw people closer together,
mm-hmm.
to really renew a relationship. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, we've had a few of those over the years where people have explicitly called that out. And I know, y'all know for me, I had this ongoing saga in my own life of trying to get my kids to become utter Tolkien nerds like I am. And, you know, they've just been like, every step of the way, it seems like there's some resistance. We finally overcame that with the eldest, our daughter. When we watched the movies, we forced them to sit down and watch the movies over Christmas break, the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I think she became a true Tolkien fan at that point. Now, what remains to be seen is if we can do the family read aloud, of Lord of the Rings, which I tried to do when the pandemic started, and it just kind of fell by the wayside because it just got too much resistance from the kids because of it. So,
yeah. Well, I think it'd be worth trying again for sure. Or maybe just, you know, I know you've spoken highly of some different audiobook versions.
Yeah.
Sorry, was my microphone?
I was just trying to get it out of your face.
Oh.
Because it's in your face on the video.
Maybe I wanted it in my face.
Okay, well.
Maybe I'm feeling shy today. Anyway, I know, like you said, there's a lot of really good audiobook versions out there.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, listening to one of those where they actually do the voices would be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, just a thought.
Well, any and all of the above. Basically, Joe Bagelman, that's awesome that you and your dad that our podcast has in some way helped to deepen the relationship between you and your father, because with stories like Tolkien stories, to me, like, and it's not just Tolkien stories, but like things like these, I love the way they can bond people together, right? They become this bond that people, you know, have in common and can share together. And that's definitely something that's, if not necessarily with Tolkien as much as I want it to in our family, it's happened with other things in our family. So, so fantastic. Hey, y'all, we're continuing to grow our YouTube channel. We've made a couple of new videos recently. One, we did our reaction to the official synopsis over there of Latron Prime. And then I also did a short video that just explores who Tolkien's greatest villain is, because that was kind of the controversial point from
the synopsis,
mm-hmm. right? Yep. So y'all head on over to YouTube, find us on YouTube. It's it's not youtube.com/Tolkien Road. I think I'm going to set up a link. I think Tolkien Road/YT. Let's see. Will that work? Nope. I think Tolkien Road/YouTube. Yes, there we go. Tolkien Road/YouTube. That'll do the trick for you. So if you just go to Tolkien Road/YouTube, that'll take you directly to our YouTube channel, and you can subscribe and get alerted for notifications over there whenever we post a new video. Please do those two things. Even if you're not huge on YouTube, I'd really appreciate it if y'all would just take a couple of moments to do that. If you even have a YouTube account, that'll just help us grow that channel and help us, you know, continue to get the word out. And it, again, tells YouTube that, hey, people like this channel and we should put it higher in search results and that kind of thing. So it's just another way you can help us out. And hopefully you're going to like what you see over there too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
especially the screenshot of my face on the official synopsis reaction video, that thumbnail, that's kind of priceless.
You got to go over there and see that in and of itself. That's That's worth the adventure.
It is worth the adventure.
Worth the price.
I do say so myself.
Worth the price of admission. That face credit just says, like, to me, that just says that you're...
No spoilers. We want people to see it for themselves.
That is a reaction.
It
I'll
is
just
a
put
reaction.
It that way.
That's what I'm saying.
That is one form of reacting to something. You gotta love YouTube just for the... just for the screen, like the automated screenshots it comes up with.
Yes.
You know, the automated thumbnails it comes up with for these things. So
yep.
Everybody, yeah, go check that out and you're in for a real treat over there. So yeah. TolkienRoad.com/YouTube. Yes.
Yep. Enjoy.
Enjoy. You shall.
Yes.
All right, Tolkien News, Latron Prime. Not much since the official synopsis, although I've heard one really interesting rumor about a big name actor that might be a part of the cast, and another interesting rumor about what a particular plot point that is a little bit out of left field, but would be in keeping with Tolkien's vision. So we're all in favor of plot points from out of left field that would be in keeping with Tolkien's vision. We're not in favor of the plot points from out of left field that violate Tolkien's vision. So anyway, I've heard a couple of really interesting rumors lately. I don't want to necessarily give the details of those rumors because we're not really about rumors. I'm more about official news over here. Mm. But it does get me excited to hear these things, and they come from what I would consider a fairly reputable source. So I won't say anything more about it, except that there is a big name actor that might be a part of the cast that hasn't been announced yet.
I just think that's not fair.
So
I don't think it's fair to put that.
It's probably not that hard
there.
To figure out who I'm talking, you know, what I'm talking about if you want to go do the research yourself. But again, it's rumor, and I don't want to put it out there specifically, but just say if you want to go digging and you're all about the rumors, then you can go find out what the rumor's all about.
Okay.
So I guess
that's fair.
I heard tings.
You heard tings.
I heard tings.
Okay. All right.
We got an Instagram channel now. We've got our second Instagram post up now. Man, boom.
Do we have more followers than our daughter yet?
Let's see. How many does she have?
I don't know. Like a lot.
I think. Oh, she does.
She has more than that.
Come on, people. We got. I gotta have more followers than my daughter. So you got to go over.
She does take pretty pictures.
Well,
though.
She does. She does. Anyway, go over and give us a follow on Instagram if you're over there. Shouldn't be too hard to find us. I'm still figuring it out, but the more I see over there, the more I'll probably post over there. Twitter, I've done a couple of recent Twitter polls, by the way. So, you know, you should be following us on Twitter because polls are fun. And also, you know, just try to post some good stuff over there that y'all might enjoy. But the two polls I've done recently, first of all, we did a poll this week that said, would you rather Latron Prime be released as a binger, meaning the entire season of episodes at once, or as a weekly, one episode at a time? Do you have an opinion on that, Greta?
Jeez, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. I do think I prefer weekly because I feel like there's going to be a lot to digest per episode. But I love the option of being able to binge if I want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So it's tough. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I would say weekly as well. And in this case, not all. I do kind of, especially when I really get into a show, there's something about the weekly being able to kind of, like, you know, it's fun to be able to go back and watch it the second time through and binge it, but weekly, there's something about being able to, like, go and, like, speculate with fellow fans about, you know,
yeah,
about
true.
Different things, different that, developments that have happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, we asked that question, and for the respondents, the majority said weekly.
Okay.
62.5% said weekly, 25% said binger, and then 12.5% said either way is fine. So it seems like at least the respondents to this poll said weekly. The other poll we did that was fun was the greatest villain that ever flowed from Tolkien's pen. Who is it, right? And pretty much a majority, 50%, said Melkor/Morgoth. 24.5% said Sauron. Interestingly, the third choice in this poll was Saruman, and 21.1% said Saruman. So, I thought that was pretty interesting that Sauron and Saruman finished pretty close to one another. But I can understand that too, because Saruman is a really interesting villain.
He
is.
He absolutely is, very complex.
And then there were some other humorous replies. 4.7%
I think we talked about this with Caitlin.
I think we just referred to it. I don't know if I gave the actual results, but but that was part. I think it came up in our interview with Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the ones that referred to Lobelia Sackville Baggins.
Yes, that was funny.
So
very fun.
Anyway, fun stuff. So yeah. Give us a follow over there on Twitter. All right, Tolkien quote of the week. This is one I just came across this morning. It came to mind this morning. It's a really good one. Galadriel. Your quest stands upon the edge of a knife. Stray but a little, and it will fail to the ruin of all. Yet hope remains while all the company is true.
So Galadriel says that.
Yes, Galadriel says that.
To Frodo?
I think to the whole fellowship. Yeah, or at least to the, because Gandalf is not with them at this point.
That's true.
So yep. To the remainder of the fellowship. I just like that quote.
Edge of a knife.
The whole edge of the knife picture. And this is how I think of Latron Prime right now. Right, I'm like,
it's like a bit of a tightrope.
Your quest stands upon the edge, you know, your show stands upon the edge of a knife, right? Stray but a little, right? From the road that Tolkien gave you, right? The places he said will go, right? The constraints he gave you, stray but a little, and it could completely ruin this thing, right? So stay true to it,
stay true to it.
Yet hope remains while Latron Prime is true, to paraphrase Galadriel.
Well played.
Yes. All right. Hey, y'all, correspondence. So here's the deal. I was planning on having a lot of correspondence discussion. We're going to have one thing that we discuss at the end. I was planning on having a lot because it's been piling up. The last two episodes, we've done interviews and haven't been able to get to there's a lot of good correspondence that's coming in, and I just haven't been able to get to it. I want y'all to know I read everything that comes in that we get, right? I don't always have a chance to respond to it immediately, but I'm grateful for everyone who writes to us, and I enjoy reading everything that we get. We may be getting to a point where we can't cover every single thing that comes in, but please keep it coming and know that I do read it all, right? I'll just say, I think we're not gonna be able to get to a whole lot of correspondence this week, but I plan to get to a good amount for next week's episode. So,
alrighty, Rudy.
Yeah. So,
sounds good.
Don't be disheartened if we haven't gotten to something that, you know, there's so much good correspondence. I just don't want anybody to be disheartened that we haven't responded to all, you know, your particular good note that you wrote. So we appreciate it all.
Indeed.
All right.
Yes.
Greta, let's talk about the next great journey, shall we?
About time. Jeez.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I know, that was a long intro, wasn't it?
That was a very long intro. I think we may have set a record.
Well, you know,
that's okay.
I don't know.
That's okay. Let's just get going.
I just got so much I want to cover. You know? There's so much to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about. So let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's keep talking.
All right, so where do we go from here? I've been pondering this question for some time at a pace that might best be described as elvish.
Not entish?
Not quite entish. Entish would be like pondering it for years, right? Elvish. Elvish would be like,
fair.
Must think about it in depth and all of its consequences.
Okay.
Maybe been a little indecisive, but I think I landed upon it in the last few days, and so I was actually planning on doing an episode just on Unfinished Tales, an overview of Unfinished Tales this week, but we're going to save that to next week, and you're going to find out why, because it hit me a day or two ago that like what I was planning on doing with today's episode could kind of turn into a longer arc for the podcast for us. So when we began this podcast back in 2015, I wanted to provide a deep dive into the Silmarillion first and foremost. We're well past having accomplished that now, and I've been somewhat puzzled since we finished The Hobbit about where we should go next. There are obviously a number of directions we could go, and so that's why I asked you all to weigh in on where you'd like to see us go. We ran a poll on Patreon about this and got some great feedback, but nothing exactly stood out except that most of you would prefer we didn't go back by doing a reread of the Silmarillion or the Lord of the Rings for our next focus. That's not to say that you wouldn't like to see that at some point, but you know, there's still a lot to look forward to, things we haven't covered yet.
Right.
So the Patreon, you know, I'm going to kind of couch the Patreon feedback under some of your correspondence, because we put this poll out there on Patreon back on December 19th, and not only do we have, you know, a good bit of people vote in it, but we also had some really good feedback in the comments associated with that. And so I encourage you to go over there and check that out. I'll try to remember to link to it in the show notes. But basically, we asked, hey, would you want to see us do a Lord of the Rings reread, cover the Children of Húrin, the Silmarillion reread, the Fall of Gondolin, Beren and Lúthien, or something else, right? And you specify in the comments. And the lowest ranking answers were Lord of the Rings reread and the Silmarillion reread, right? Both of them had some votes, but they were the lowest ranking. There was a tie for first place. There's a tie for first place. Beren and Lúthien and the Fall of Gondolin. Yeah. So, and then the Children of Húrin was in next place. Actually, something else specifying comments was in next place, but that had various answers. So, you know, some of the feedback we got in the comments was Book of Lost Tales, The Fall of Gondolin, covering different topics from the histories, right, from the History of Middle-earth series. Mm. David Bigwood said The Homecoming of Beornath, Beorth Helm's Son, right, which is a really obscure one that's actually at the end of Tree and Leaf, the most recent edition of Tree and Leaf, and which I actually, that's one I have read. He gave some other ideas as well. Let's see. Bethany said Beren and Lúthien, the Children of Húrin, and the Fall of Gondolin. Would love to see those, you know, the great tales. Let's kind of go through those great tales. And so, you know, there was a lot of variance in the different answers we got. And I wasn't necessarily looking for something to be the number one answer. And then it's like, that's what we're going to do. I was more looking to hear what you all, and especially our patrons, are asking for, right? Are hoping to see. So, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this. Where do we go? And I feel like I achieved some clarity on that. So most of you seem to support our spending time in the more arcane sections of the Tolkien library with one of the works of Middle-earth edited and overseen by Christopher Tolkien after his father's death. But there's just one big problem with all of that. And it's that most of these works are pretty new to me. I own them all, but I've only read like little snippets of most of them, right? The one I've read most of is actually Unfinished Tales, which we've, you know, which we've covered a good bit of on this, on this podcast already, but not all of. But that's one problem is that I'm in no way, with the Silmarillion, I could at least say I've read this several times and I can kind of, you know, be your guide through it. But now we're really getting into the deep end. The Silmarillion, like, the things that come after the Silmarillion make the Silmarillion look like a holiday in the Shire, right?
Wow.
I mean, they really do. Sometimes you just get into them and you're like, whose words are these? Are these Tolkien's or are these Christopher's, right? Mm. You know, what, it's got a lot, like it can just kind of like, it's arranged in a not easy way to understand.
Yeah.
And so it's like the Silmarillion is intimidating to people who come to it brand new. And this just, if you think that by mastering the Silmarillion, you're able to just go right into Unfinished Tales or the History of Middle Earth, it's like, you got to step it up another level, right? There's just a whole nother level to kind of getting into those things and understanding what's going on and what's being fed to you, right? So all that being said, I do want to read them, right? I know there's a lot of great stuff contained therein. In fact, we've already read a good bit of Unfinished Tales, which was Christopher's first foray into the mode of publishing his father's work that he'd really continue for the rest of his life. So here's what we're going to do. I'm calling it right now, after the Silmarillion, an overview of the history of Middle-earth series, right? So
that's the whole title.
Well, that's kind of the working title for it right now, at least after the Silmarillion, right? Because the idea here is that the Silmarillion was published in 1977, and after reading the Silmarillion, you've probably seen that it's more or less organized. It's not like a traditional book per se, but it flows. Once you understand what's going on, it flows like a traditional book. There is a narrative arc to it, right?
Yeah.
It's just a narrative arc that takes place over thousands of years, right? And it's not always edited like you would expect a normal novel to be, right?
Right. Doesn't have chapters.
And it What?
It doesn't have chapters.
Well, the Silmarillion does have chapters.
Well, I know, but they're like not.
You're talking about like
Ainulind.
Well, it's got Ainulind, Le Valaquenta, and then the Silmarillion, which has chapters, and then it's got Akalabeth and other.
Right. Yeah, I guess I was just saying the organization is unusual.
So it is unusual, yeah. and that's kind of what I'm referring to. But once you, it's not too hard to finally achieve a grasp of that.
Right.
But
yeah, that's true.
You know, Unfinished Tales into the History of Middle Earth and beyond. It starts to get a little challenging, right? And it starts to understand, like, what's the unifying principle. It's difficult to understand sometimes, like, what unifies this book, right? So what we're going to be doing is basically doing an overview of the remaining books in, you know, that come after the Silmarillion, right? So starting with Unfinished Tales, which was the first book published after the Silmarillion, right? So Silmarillion is 1977. And then Unfinished Tales is 1980. And what's really interesting is I was preparing to do an episode on Unfinished Tales. I was reading the introduction and just researching some of the things in that. Like, why does he give us another version of the story of Túrin? And why does he give us another version of the fall of Gondolin, right? And I started to realize, like Christopher made a very deliberate decision, all right, with Unfinished Tales. And that's kind of the direction he followed for the rest of his life with regard to his father's work, right? Mm. So basically what I envision is that over the next few months, we will explore one book per episode in chronological order, beginning with Unfinished Tales. Doesn't mean we're going to read the entire book. That would be craziness. That's impossible. Okay. And we couldn't do it justice. Okay. Greta was like, whoa.
And I was like, squeeze me?
No. In fact, it's probably not going to be a whole lot of reading necessary for you. I might ask you to review the table of contents or something like that. But, okay. But it's not, you know, it's more going to be like, let's just kind of explore at a high level what's in this book, right? So we'll then move into the History of Middle-earth series after doing Unfinished Tales and introduce ourselves to those books individually, eventually moving into The Children of Húrin, Beren and Lúthien, and The Fall of Gondolin. So, you know, that's about a 15 or 16 book kind of series, right? That's about 15 or 16 episodes right there.
The History of Middle-earth series has that many books in it?
Post-Silmarillion. So if you do Unfinished Tales, which is one, History of Middle-earth, which is 12, and then 12 or 13. Yeah. Anyway, and then those three other books, that's 15, 16-ish, right?
Wow. All right.
Yeah, so that's the plan.
That'll get us through a few months at least.
Yeah. So as I was saying before, in reading the introduction to Unfinished Tales, I was struck by how that book was a turning point for Christopher, and it demonstrates some of his misgivings about how the publication of the Silmarillion was handled. So basically I started to understand, like, the reason these books became so much more difficult after the Silmarillion was because Christopher himself was not entirely happy with the publication of the Silmarillion. My understanding is that he felt a little rushed by it. And he, I guess on reflection, he decided he didn't want to continue doing that, right? He didn't want to continue kind of churning out just the story, like new stories from his father's legendarium. So it almost seems to me like the entirety of his work after the Silmarillion was kind of like wanting to set the record straight on, you know, a lot of the stories that are in the Silmarillion and how, you know, what his father kind of left them to us as, right?
Oh, okay.
You know, at times I wonder why Christopher didn't just continue to develop the legendarium himself, if not as a writer, as something like an executive producer, right? He took a really academic approach to how he presented everything from Unfinished Tales and beyond, right? Mm. But, you know, you sometimes wonder, like, he probably could have really cashed in if he had just been like, I'm just going to be the executive producer and hire other writers to tell stories in my father's legendarium. Right.
Okay.
Which I don't know, part of me kind of wishes he had. I think that would be really cool if we had all these other stories. But he didn't. And I have a lot of respect for Christopher Tolkien. Right. And for the fact that he didn't do that, it would have been maybe an easier road to go down. Mm. But did he have too much respect for his father's legacy?
That would be my guess. Yeah. It was almost like off limits in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, or didn't want to mess with it.
Maybe figuring that would happen eventually, but
he didn't want to be the one to put that ball in motion.
But before that happened, he wanted to leave. He wanted to leave all of the stuff his father had actually written. Right. He wanted the world to have that before anything else came beyond it. Right.
And there's something really beautiful about that.
I think there is, right? You know, I mean, we've seen how when this, when Tolkien's legendarium and Tolkien stories get in, you know, get into the hands of people who aren't kind of scrupulous about this, about the details of the stories, how they can be mangled, right?
Absolutely.
Tolkien had to deal with that in his own, in his own lifetime. And so, you know, there may be some truth to that. Anyway, this is going to be a big journey of exploration for us. And I'm thankful that there are people who listen to this podcast who know a lot more about Tolkien, who've probably read the entire History of Middle-earth series from start to finish, and that they can maybe help, you know, be guides for us as well, through correspondence. So I'm really excited about this and very much looking forward to it. Just a couple more things. I just want to have a better grasp of what can be found in the post-Silmarillion books, because I get the sense that there's a lot of mithril in them, Thar Hills. I'm something of a completist, so I do hope to eventually cover each of these works individually in depth, but I think we'd all be better served to understand what each book contains before we dive headlong into the abyss of Khazad-dûm. So,
yeah, so you're basically talking about doing kind of an overview.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then kind of getting a little bit of a framework that we can build from, that we can build on in the future if we decide to go that route.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, this doesn't mean we won't take detours along the way. I've really enjoyed our recent interviews, and I hope to do more of that. I also really enjoyed researching our episode on the White Trees, and so from time to time, we'll do a lore deep dive on a particular topic from the Legendarium.
Sounds good.
And we can't forget that there are still great letters, short stories, and other non-Middle-earth works that Tolkien wrote, as well as fascinating biographical details that we only scratched the surface of in our recent series on Tolkien's life story. So, post-Silmarillion books is our general direction, but we aren't in a rush, so we'll be looking under rocks, digging for treasure, and enjoying vistas all along this next section of Tolkien's road.
I like the way that sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Of course, Latron Prime, right? Once Latron Prime hits, things are probably going to get crazy, right? So, I want us to have a path we can stick to even through Latron Prime. But let's be honest, when Latron Prime hits, when it really starts hitting, when we really start finding out details, seeing visuals, seeing trailers, and when the show actually gets released, it's going to be a huge thing to talk about. You bet we're going to be talking about it on this podcast. Can't wait. Very much looking forward to it. Really hope it satisfies rather than disappoints, right?
Yep, for sure.
But either way, we're going to be covering it. And speaking of Latron Prime, I hope that this podcast serves the cause of creating fans of Tolkien that are truly fans of Tolkien and not just of what Hollywood tells you Tolkien is, right? I'm excited about the show, but I also want it to be true to Tolkien, true to his heart, true to him as a person, because if you guys know one thing about me, it's that I love the man, right? I love the man Tolkien, and he's kind of one of my heroes, right? And I just want, he gave us this incredible thing, and I want whatever corporate Hollywood does with it to stay true to it. I'm not a complete pessimist about that. I think they can. I think it's possible. But if Tolkien fans aren't going to hold them accountable in whatever way we can, right, then, you know, and if we're not equipped to hold them accountable, then, you know, then who's going to, right? I'm hoping that by better educating ourselves on the history of the Legendarium, we can do our hobbit share of holding Amazon accountable to Tolkien's vision and the Legendarium. So, I mean, look, you know, we're not going to, you know, one podcast is not going to convince, you know, Jeff Bezos and company to, you know, to do things the right way, or to change direction. We can only do our little hobbit share over here, right?
Hobbit share.
But, you know, who knows, right? Maybe enough of us little, you know, hobbits in our little fan communities can have a large enough voice, or, you know, just be used in a certain way, right? Providentially to guide things in a direction that's a little bit truer to Tolkien's vision. So,
yeah,
because you can bet there are forces pressuring, right? the people who produce this show, to probably take things in a direction that they don't want to take them, that they know Tolkien wouldn't have wanted to take it. But it's like money, 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 right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we true Tolkien fans can form our own fellowship and be ready to destroy the ring should need be.
Well,
that was a terrible analogy, but
yeah,
you know what I was trying to say.
Figuratively speaking.
Figuratively speaking.
No, it's just an accountability thing, right?
Yes, and absolutely.
You know, it's like just be true, because I think you all kind of know I hated what happened with the Star Wars sequels. I really did. I tried to start out being okay with it, even though after the episode 7, I was the Force Awakens. I was just kind of like, okay, I guess I'll see what happens next. And by the time I was done with the episode 8, I was just, that was my first, like, even before Narnia, Star Wars was my first love, right? Probably like many of you. And I look at it, and my root cause for it is because it was bungled by corporate, right? Mm. It was a bungled corporate mess. A corporation got hold of this thing and said, well, we're just going to put tons of money behind it, and money solves all problems, right? And they were dumb,
right? Yeah.
So, but it doesn't have to be that way, right? I think there are other franchises that prove that you can do it right? That you can actually tell a story that the fans who are hungering for more stories in that legendarium want to see, right? And build from that, and build something that's actually going to attract more fans, mm-hmm. right? So, anyway.
Yep.
I relinquish my soapbox.
I was just going to say, are you getting off your soapbox?
For this episode. Not forever, of course. All right. So, Greta.
Yeah.
How does all that sound to you?
I think I already told you. I think it sounds wonderful.
All right.
I really like the way it sounds.
Cool.
I think it's a really good plan.
All right. And Greta's like, this sounds sweet. I don't have to do a lot of work from week to week. So this
is good.
Exactly.
All I have to do is look at a table of contents. Sign me up.
Yeah.
For sure.
And come well equipped with questions. Right.
That I can do.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this is exciting because I'm exploring too. You know, again, I have not read any of these works in full, although I know snippets here and there. And I know of many of these things in here, but, you know, I'm excited to learn more and to find other things that I want to dive a little deeper into. So,
yeah, I'm excited to be doing something new. I mean, I'm all about rereads, mm-hmm. but I'm excited to, I think a little bit more space is going to be good between, you know, I think we'll eventually do a reread, but to do this first, I can only think that when, or if we get back to doing a reread, that this particular journey is only going to help to inform,
mm-hmm.
any rereads that we might do in the future.
Absolutely. I think it really will. So, all right. Fantastic. So we're just going to do a little correspondence. This is a little relevant piece of correspondence. I thought this would be a good one to deal with. So I had a long Facebook comment from Jesse in response to our episode 212, The Dawn of Numenor. And I just received this the other day. So longer comment. So Jesse said, this is the first of your podcasts that I've listened to, so you'll have to excuse me if I don't understand the way you run things, but I have to disagree with you on your take on the nudity casting call and the intimacy coordinator. Your view on the Amazon producers having to listen to hardcore fans on how to run the show, and that it's only due to diehard fans many hours of research to maintain this interest in his work, is quite biased and comes across as pretty self-righteous. I think many of the people who have become fans of Tolkien's work in the last 20 years have become fans due to the enormous commercial success of the Peter Jackson films, which I'm sure you know grossed billions of dollars and exposed millions of people to Tolkien. People who had never even picked up one of his books previously, many of whom might very well now be hardcore fans, might never had experienced his work otherwise. I'm not sure that it has much at all to do with hardcore fans. The impact of a hardcore fan's podcast is a drop in an ocean compared to a high-budget movie or series. You're right in saying there are more important things than money, but without money, you wouldn't have a show at all. You're probably right in saying that Tolkien wouldn't agree with having sex scenes in a show based off his works, but it's still not his show. It is important that research is done and that the source material is respected, but the source material is nearly 100 years old. No, it's not. And the audience have changed. Art is a reflection of society and shifts as society does. Literature reflects the society and culture of the time it is written. Our world is not PG-13, and I don't think Tolkien's is either. Sex is as much a part of life as is death. If you can show orcs being decapitated during a bloody battle, surely you can show Beren and Luthien's physical love, without which we would not have many important characters. I agree that they don't need to add sex just for shock value and to make Middle-earth porn, but I don't think it's right to ignore it either. If these changes are made, it's just viewing the source material with the modern lens, not altering or defiling the source material, and hopefully in the process, bringing more people to appreciate Tolkien and his works. first of all, Jesse, thank you for your note. And, you know, I really appreciate your taking the time to make that lengthy comment. We've actually done a couple of episodes. We did at least one episode since then with our episode with Clifford Broadway from the OneRing.net, where we talked about, you know, this issue of, you know, nude casting calls and that kind of thing. So it was a follow-up to this to this issue. And so I recommend that you listen to that as well. But here's the reply I wrote to Jesse. I said, thanks for your comment and for listening. I agree with most of what you say. Certainly money is necessary to produce a series like this. And I actually don't have a problem with including some form of eroticism in the series, so long as it is in keeping with the spirit of the legendarium Tolkien himself created. I think in the end, it comes down to how a series like this should establish its guiding artistic principles. Should the desires of money slash power be the guiding principle? That is a very Melkorish way of doing art. I also think they will ultimately fail financially if they are guided by these things. In the absence of the artist's own guidance, who should they listen to? Jeff Bezos' desires? Game of Thrones fans? Fans of the Peter Jackson's films who have never read the books? It just begs the question. I think if you listen to the hardcore fans, i.e. those who have invested in the time and energy into understanding the intricacies of the legendarium, you set yourself up for better success, both artistic and financial, in the long run. Of course, which of those fans you listen to is also important, so I get that it's not as easy as contacting ye hardcore Tolkien fans, trademark. I just hope the production team pays close attention to Tolkien's writings and the underlying core of what he was trying to create, and feels an artistic burden to stay true to what is found there. Yeah, they can do whatever they want because Bezos has FU money, but they might just end up creating something really expensive and totally S-y, right? I won't say it because we're a clean podcast. However, I say all this because I truly hope it's awesome. By the way, I may respond to this in more depth on a future episode of the podcast. So there I did. Mm. Anyway, my whole point is not, I'm not trying to be a prude.
We're not prudes.
Yeah, not trying to be a prude about it. Mm-mm. If they do the story of Beren and Lúthien, I expect it to be pretty, like, you know, romantic. And I don't know, will it show have some level of eroticism? Like, we're not anti-eroticism, right? Like, we're anti-porn, right? Especially when it comes to Tolkien's works, right? But we're not like anti-eroticism when it comes to like the stories that Tolkien's told, especially if that's part of it, right? And so if they want, you know, if they end up telling the story of Beren and Lúthien in some later series, because it's not going to be in this one,
right,
unless they do some kind of flashback, that's okay. And if they develop some thread where there's like, you know, some kind of, you know, something like that that's going on, right? I mean, it's very possible because it'd be telling stories of like the kings of Numenor, presumably. If that's part of it, then okay. We're just saying, like, could you kind of stick to Tolkien's vision for that kind of thing, right, within his stories, and understand that he would have wanted those stories told in a certain way? Because if not, then you're just listening to, you're not listening to like Tolkien. Like, my whole thing is like, what's the guiding principle? What's the guiding artistic principle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And it should be Tolkien and his worldview and what he put out there.
Right. And I'm not necessarily just saying like the desires of the hardcore fans. I'm saying the hardcore fans are a good voice to listen to in this kind of thing, because they've actually taken the time mm-hmm. and care about understanding what Tolkien actually thought about these things.
Right.
And the absence of his own guidance.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. People like us, not saying necessarily just us, because there are people a lot smarter about this stuff than we are, but people like us, you know, we actually like bring something to the table that might be helpful in making this series as awesome as possible,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Because you're gonna have to choose to listen to somebody.
Exactly.
And if it's Amazon's shareholders, or if it's Jeff Bezos, then I mean, maybe Jeff Bezos is a huge Tolkien nerd. Hopefully he is. But like, mm-hmm. you got to listen to somebody. That's my whole point.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, Jesse, with all due respect, that's my big thing, right? You've got to have some guiding principles when you're doing something of this scope. And, and in the absence of the original author, what's that going to be? And I think your best bet in a case like this is to go with like hardcore fans, right?
Yep.
There's a lot of hardcore fans out there, so you might have to choose which ones you listen to, But, you know, that's kind of why all of us hardcore fans were very excited to hear that Tom Shippey was involved with this in the first place. Mm-hmm. And when we heard that he was no longer involved, we're kind of like, eh, mm-hmm. not good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Yeah. You're right. And you know what he said? Something to the effect, too, of, you know, our world is not PG-13, and I don't think Tolkien's is either. I mean, it's true, but I think we talked about this previously. Like, these works are, at least for me, these works are meant to be, like, a way to forget about our world, right?
Yeah.
And I don't, just because the world I live in is not PG-13 doesn't mean that I want to watch shows that are not PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to forget about my non PG-13 world for a little while and not be constantly reminded that, oh, this world I live in really kind of sucks, you know?
I'll be honest, like, part of that too is, you know, he references like decapitating orcs, and yeah, sure. But you know what? I'm also really glad that it's not like gruesome full graphic detail of decapitations either, right? Like, so there's a way of doing visual storytelling that doesn't depict it in all of its graphic glory, right?
These kinds of things. Tasteful way to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, tasteful, I don't know if tasteful is the right word, but I know what you're saying.
I like the word tasteful.
I guess it works, yeah. You know,
well, thank you.
So, but, you know, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of like battle scenes and that kind of thing in, you know, in the Lord of the Rings films and the Hobbit films,
mm-hmm.
but you know, they're not nearly as graphic as what you see in like, you know, the battle scenes of like Saving Private Ryan or Braveheart. Right.
Right. Well, right.
You know,
yeah,
those are
sure.
like, you watch those and you're just like, oh, that's what battle is really like. Wow. Okay. That looks really unpleasant, you know, but the scenes in Lord of the Rings, I think, are still powerful, but don't rise, you know, to that level necessarily, right?
Mm-hmm.
To that level of just like sheer gruesomeness. And I think an analogy can be made to how you handle eroticism, right?
Oh, for sure.
You don't have to go into it in all of its graphic glory. And I know from my own experience of just the one episode I saw of Game of Thrones, I don't know that there was a lot of like I don't remember a sex scene from it, but I just remember like a couple of really graphic, like violent scenes. I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, it's just like, it just seems like that's what like Hollywood does, is it's just constantly upping the ante on that kind of stuff. And you're just like, I really don't want to watch this.
Yeah.
We're watching the show Yellowstone, right, the other night. And it's, you know, it's pretty gruesome, and it depicted, I mean, it full on depicted something that I just had to fast forward. I was just like, this is horrendous. Mm-hmm. I do not want it. Like,
and why do you have that in your brain?
You could have just told us that this happened or hinted at it happening,
right,
and moved on, but you had to show the whole thing. I do not want my mental space harmed by that.
Right? Exactly.
I know
exactly.
That kind of stuff exists.
Yeah.
And I'd really rather it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to convince me that I'm not any more convinced that it's evil just because I saw it. Right? Just because you depicted it.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, I could go without that. So, and I think that all kind of gets back to your general point of like, there's just some things mm-hmm. that I don't want to see in all their graphic detail.
Right, exactly.
Y'all, Greta's a nurse. She's seen all this stuff, right? Right? She's seen all, you know, all of the grossness associated with the human body, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? She maybe wants to come and watch a TV show where she doesn't have to like contend with that.
Yes, exactly.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's absolutely true. And I will also comment that I think Jesse's absolutely right, and that, you know, the goal of this show, hopefully one of the results is going to be bringing more people to appreciate Tolkien,
mm-hmm.
and the less you show of that crap, the more people are going to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, think of all the impact this series could make on, like, our kids.
Yeah.
You know, like, this could...
A new generation
like,
of Tolkien fans.
A new
fans.
Generation of Tolkien fans. But you know what? If it's going to be rated M or whatever, and it's going to have all this... Like, there's no way that parents are going to let their kids watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that automatically removes a whole other potential fan set. So we should probably get off our soapbox. I'm getting a little worked up.
This is a fun soapbox to be on, but you know, yeah, we probably said all we need to say on this topic
have.
For right now.
Yeah, for now.
But I won't back down from this hill. I mean, like, it just doesn't, you know, this is a general principle. Like, you can tell stories without showing all of the ugliness in all of its detail.
Yes.
Right? And I just think it's a shame in general that Hollywood feels a need to continue to go further and further down that road. Mm-hmm. You call me old-fashioned, I don't care, right? I would much prefer you call me old-fashioned and make fun of me than have to deal with, like, seeing many of the things that people seem to want to show us in TV shows these days. So
yep.
I'm all about telling the story and including the ugliness of, you know, of certain aspects of evil and existence in those stories. But, you know, it doesn't mean you have to show it in all its glory. So,
yes.
All right. Boom. Man, we found a couple of soapboxes in this episode. All right, y'all. Like I said, correspondence, you know, hopefully we're going to get to a lot more of your correspondence on the next episode. And I think we just needed to kind of pull off a little bit of shorter episode this week, which actually ended up not being terribly short, but shorter than I think our last few.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
So, but please keep those. Please keep the correspondence coming. Please know that I read all of it and do my best to respond to it, you know, as quick as I can. So we love to hear from you. TolkienRoadPodcast@gmail.com, TolkienRoad.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, wherever you can find us. All right, Greta, next episode, right. Unfinished Tales, an overview.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Good deal.
All right. Once again, thanks to our patrons, especially the following: Caitlin of Tea with Tolkien.
Lee Sue.
Andrew T.
John R.
Shannon S.
Brian O.
Emilio P.
Zeke F.
James A.
James L.
Chris L.
Chuck F.
Asya V.
Ish of the Hammer.
Teresa C.
David of Pints with Jack.
Jonathan D.
Eric S.
Joey S.
Eric B.
Matt L.
Johanna T.
Ms. Anonymous.
Sam N.
And Mike M.
Thank you guys.
Thank you all so much. And we want to give a shout out to our patrons celebrating their Patreon anniversary in February, or sharing their Tolkien Road Patreon anniversary in February. Asya V.
Chuck F.
Eric B.
Ish of the Hammer.
John R.
Magnus V.
Kat L.
David Bigwood.
And Sarah M.
Thank you guys.
Thank you all so much. And we will talk at you next time.
Yes, we will. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.